welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 60, with Paul and Barry and Hazel.
Yes, hello, listeners. So our duo has become a trio, like trio. The sounds of it.
This may be an ongoing thing, because I guess most of the time when you're at home, Hazel's going to be at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially going forward.
So, listeners, so my wife's... I've had a daughter. Yeah, my wife gave birth on Sunday, and today is Thursday. And and the baby's back home with us now, and the best way to keep the baby quiet is to have her strapped to me, generally, and like I've got her in this like Moby strap, and I'm just like wearing her at the top of my chest at the moment.
It looks like webbing. There's certainly some strapping on it. It goes all around everywhere.
It's quite cool. I mean, like because of my time, like the army in Iraq and Afghan and stuff. It's like wearing a chest rig, like a bit of body armor, where the weight is.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. It's like, and my hands are free, so yeah, it's all
and
good.
And it keeps Hazel quiet.
Yeah, it does. And if she sparks up, I'm actually standing up at the moment, jiggling a bit, just to keep her quiet. But she has been fed, so if she shouldn't start crying, but if she does, we'll have to pause and like I'll go get rid of her, like to the wife.
Multitasking dad.
Always.
Multitasking dad. Yep. So she was a little thing, wasn't she? Only a little snippet of a little. Wife was amazed that Hannah managed to get.
So basically, I mean, this, yeah, like bore of
how big was it? How big?
Well, 10 pounds 11.
Oh my god!
And so that is pretty big. I mean, I've
that is on the scale of big. That is big for a first kid.
I've heard of bigger kids, as in like, but I've never, as in like, there are bigger kids, but I've never met somebody who had a bigger kid. Yeah,
as a first kid, because they tend to be smaller.
Any kid, yeah.
Like, if you say you're 15th, then they come out like 3 stone.
Yeah. So
you've given birth to Brienne of Tarth, yeah?
Basically. Yeah. But yeah, and the name we've gone with is Hazel Arwen Winter. So, I got the middle name.
I had a feeling that's where the middle name came from.
I really wanted... there's this name in Rings, the legend of Brennan and Tenuvial. And that I love that Elvish name, Tenuvial, because she was... in a story in The Lord of the Rings, she was like the fairest of the elves and like, legendary, the most
legendary.
Beautiful, very beautiful thing ever. And I just really like the name, but of course it's not an obvious name, and if you had that as a first name for forever, like I'd probably be Scar the Kid.
Yeah, yeah. It was very sensible to allow Hannah to choose the first name.
Yeah.
Middle names are just hidden away.
We had a lot of lists of names, and she chose Hazel. She came up with Hazel out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And fair enough. And at least I got the say on the middle name. And Arwen's quite a nice name. That's probably what I'd call her.
So. You didn't take on Moon Unit or a Cordo or
a... No, I mean, had a lot of... Because we came home, the birth happened very quickly. We were induced and it happened very quickly. But we didn't... I don't know, in our heads we thought we were getting a boy. Even though we didn't know. We just... I don't know.
Yeah.
We had that impression. And so we'd gotten a lot further with boys' names. And then came home and, we're having a girl. We didn't have a name for a long time. We didn't have what to call her.
Well done, you got a name?
Yep.
Got a name? And I get to tell my... Because, like, Hazel is enjoying the closeness and the noise and the she doesn't like to be left on her own in places.
No. I mean, this is very early days. Like, this baby's 4 days old. So, like, I mean, we're tag-teaming, looking after her. Like, I'll stay up, look after her, then Hannah. But we are trying... We've got to try each time to... get her to sleep in her cot, because that's the aim, isn't it? That's what you've got to try to do, because she can't stay always with one of us all the time. And last night we got her to be quiet. I don't think she was sleeping, but she was quiet in her cot for an hour, which was like a double thumbs up, because we were both asleep then at the same time.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's nice. Yeah,
that's good.
Anyway, what it has allowed me to do is I'm getting loads of painting done.
Painting's good. Painting's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my Scientology birth fact is that in Scientology, like Tom Cruise, his wife, she had to give birth in silence.
What? Total silence?
Total silence. No noise allowed. No moaning, crying, wailing. If you've been through a birth, you know that there's quite a lot of wailing and moaning.
Like some of the noises coming out of Hannah, I wouldn't have. If you'd played them to me, I wouldn't have said that was Hannah. I wouldn't have recognised.
It's not even humanoid.
Well, it's just like, feral. But like, I mean, there you go. Really? So
silence. A silent. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's to not disturb the child when it's being born. But he's getting plenty disturbed anyway, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm impressed at any woman who can have a natural childbirth and not make any noise. My God, I mean, Jesus, it's not exactly kind, is it?
It's not kind, yeah. I mean, you can tell a man thought that idea up, because a woman wouldn't think that idea up.
I tried my best, like, in the delivery room. I don't know, I expected, like, a team, but it was just...
No team.
Yeah.
Like, midwife, and only there for the very end.
Yeah. And so anyway, I was like an extra pair of hands for this midwife, which is good, because I'm a nurse. So when Hannah was, like, sick, you know, like, I cleaned her up and stuff, it's like a big deal to me.
From too much gas and air.
Yeah. It's all she had, all she used, analgesia. Anyway, I try not to be shocked in my line of work in A&E. I'd like, whatever you tell, if you bring in a patient in an ambulance, whatever you say, I'm going to try my best to be
carry on.
Really nonchalant, like I've heard it all a thousand times before. Even when I haven't, even on my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, what? You know, like, now normally, that's normally because of the weird stories rather than how ill the patient is. But in this labour, I was just like, oh my God, that's freaky, you like all that's happening and going on, and I really try my best just to not react.
Well, that's
badly.
why like middle class ish families, after they've had a problem free first child, they'll try and have the rest of them at home, because then you get a dedicated midwife. You get a dedicated midwife with you all the time.
Yeah, great.
The time, not running in and out of the room, just sat there waiting.
No. I don't know. It's like, anyway, there's enough about that. Yeah, like.
Well, it's a big event, so yeah, it's done. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
So what's on the story? So it's the week in Poland. Well, your week's been pretty full of Hazel, I would have thought.
But I did, since we last recorded, I've played a couple of games of War Machine. Yeah, like...
Have you?
Yeah. So I played Rodders down the club the week before, and then I played Eric the day after, on the Friday. Yeah, the Friday after. Both 75-point games of War Machine.
Wow.
So there you go. Yeah.
So I saw your game against Rodders. That looked pretty... he had like Cador heavy list.
That's right, yeah.
And he played
themes Jaws of the Wolf, that was it. And I played theme Storm Division, but I went for Scientists rather than Stormblades. And the thing is, it's like, I enjoyed it. Like, we both really enjoyed it. We both hadn't played War Machine for a while, because it's gone out of fashion. But I really enjoyed it. There's nothing wrong with that game. It's just, it's, Mark III seems to have... kind of being corrected to like the state it's in like now, but it's not a problem. It's like, I mean, at the moment with the Signar, there's three tiers you can play. One's a scientist tier, one or Stormblades or both, where you get 3 points for taking them. Another one is Art Gunmage's theme, and you get points for taking them.
Yeah.
You get 3 points for taking them, and
a little Brucey bonus. Of
and
some
yeah, and another and the last one is you take a lot of heavy jacks. And then you get 3 points in solos and stuff like so. But the selections are quite broad. That really, you're going to play in those tiers. Like, I can see that there's a big incentive to play in those tiers, because you get like quite a lot. You're getting like three free things if you take these selections, and that's quite a bit, you know. So I don't know. Anyway,
so the only problem would be if they don't let you take things like the Squire. So if the squire is really good.
But I mean, like in Rodder's Cador one, his jacks were quick, like the jacks were moving. Like he had the right caster, but they were all moving fast. And it's like Cador jacks are meant to be slow, like, and they're not slow. But they had a really good game, really tight game. And then I played Eric's. I played the same list. I changed the list a little to get a Firefly, and I played that into. Oh, what was it? Border. That was it, and a lot of stones.
Okay.
You know, like, and too many boxes. I even on my feet of Nemo 3 with a buff, I couldn't do enough damage. And the scenario was a central zone.
Right.
I just couldn't. Like,
so both games you lost because there's too much armor.
On the board,
I guess.
Yes, but they were both similar lists.
Yeah. So yeah.
Like
armor
like,
skew
list. Like Rodders only really had heavy jacks. And plus some support pieces. He didn't have a unit. And Eric's had a lot of... He had three heavies, world rafts, and the colossal world raft.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, that's a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
Because there's far less ability to take spells off in the game. Like
purifications. Yeah.
And there's less spell breakers. Like, you could always take, like, an Eris to shoot a spell off.
Right.
Well, she can do that, but you just take a bit of damage on the Warcaster and nullify it. Like, it's not, it's like, it just causes, like, a few boxes of damage. If you, it stops a spell, but you just take a few, or you can take a few boxes of damage and keep it on.
I didn't know that. That's,
yeah,
no, that's changed to Eric's.
So, yeah. So she's, her tool set of, like, shooting off a spell isn't really there anymore, because the penalty is so minor that you
take the damage.
You take the damage, yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's interesting. It's probably Signar's biggest weakness is the ability to deal with big armour.
Yeah,
you have to build a specialist list, generally.
Like, exactly.
And that's what the two list thing is for.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I'd like to play in some War Machine events. There's actually a War Machine event on Saturday, but I doubt, obviously, I shouldn't go, because I've got the guard this kid for the moment while I'm on the paternity leave. But it's I would play a War Machine tournament, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I enjoy the game. You know, it's still...
It'll come back.
Yeah, it's because, like, the advantage of everything being so pre-measure, I don't ever have a shot that's out of range.
Is that a good thing?
Like, for Signar, yeah, but that's like kind of offsets the I can't shoot off, like, in both these lists, they had lots of boxes and armor. I couldn't just wipe them off the table, you know, because my shooting isn't as that good.
No.
But it is, but so that's a negative. But the buff is, I never have a shot that's out of range anymore. I like, because I can move everything to perfect ranges.
Yeah, but again, that War Machine is a game that wouldn't work without scenarios. Mm. Because you just move back and shoot,
Shoot. And both those games I lost because of the scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine.
Like, which is how a game should be.
But how a game should be. It's like, it's like the balance, that is what the game system is.
Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. I needed some painting of some stuff.
Yeah, so having taken the shifts, I've completely finished basing the Tomb Kings up there.
Oh, it looks very nice.
Yeah, like, so they're all totally done now.
You did a fantastic job on painting them.
Simon did the painting of them, the commission, but I've done the basing. And they're quite a simple, like, to effect. And I've also been...
Is this a new piece?
That is what Simon's painted it, but yeah, that is.
Well, I didn't see that last week.
Yeah, I think from what's up there, I might need to get a few more skeleton units done by him just to have a bit more numbers. That's it. But like, and then also about behind you there is, I've been doing the finishing off the Empire Halberdiers to have a few more choices.
The blue with blue,
two-tone
blue.
They're the orange feathered colour ones.
Oh, very nice.
So, and I'll continue to work on them, just enjoy my painting, because with this baby strapped to me, I can do that, you know. Like, I like, once I've got her settled, I can sit there and paint for a bit, and if she rouses, I just get up, walk around a bit more, come back to it. I'm lucky that I've got something that I can just do.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Might only last a few months, but enjoy it while it lasts.
But it might do. But
With strap there,
yeah,
and not poking you in the nose while you're trying to paint or pulling at your lip.
That'd be fun. But my niece, who always is 8 years old and always wants to, like, paint when she's over here, I can, like, just get her to do jobs body, like, base coat that for me, like, 0 hours contract. Yeah, like,
no minimum wage for you. No minimum wage. Brilliant. Well, congratulations. It's been a busy week in Poland, although not so much game. But you played two games. That's probably more than me.
Yeah, well, where's a will is a way. I mean, like, because I took Hazel down the club last night, and...
The girls upstairs must have loved it.
Oh, they loved it.
They love it. Yeah. Women, man, they can't get enough.
My God.
It's ridiculous.
Like, I walked this kid into town the other day, which isn't far for anyone's listening, and every woman reacted to me walking past.
Everyone.
Like, in some way, they, like, cooed or ahed or followed me with their eyes. And when she cried a little bit on the way home, it was quite funny, because I was out of sight of one woman, and when I appeared, she was like, a hyena, like, looking around, like, where's that coming from? A baby, you know, new baby's crying. Just like, I could hear a baby crying. And it's like, it's not yours, is it? Like,
I can't help it.
Yeah,
it's
nature.
Yeah, it's like instinctual.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. Well done. So, when did we last record? Was it last Thursday?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I mean, we did want to do another YouTube battle report alongside this, but Barry couldn't be as available. It actually wasn't me.
It wasn't
the
job. It's never you, so
Barry
never
couldn't
you.
Be as available. But we will. We will
do it next week.
Yes,
hopefully.
And we've had some real nice responses about that, actually. Like, as in the battle report, like, some comments people have made, like, they like it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think sometimes... Oh, we'll talk about that. Yeah. We'll talk about that later on. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So Monday night I played Magic Standard. That was all right. And last night at the club I played Star Wars Destiny.
Mm.
which is it's all right. But yeah. They're both card games, so they're not much interest to wargamers.
Yeah, well, but it's a different flavour, isn't it? I mean, like, I've played, like, you know, I used to come to your Magic Club, and it's like, it's a different type of thing.
We had 19 players on Monday, playing standard.
But you've always had such numbers, it's great.
Hard work, but it's we need a shop in Chelmsford, is what we need. If anybody wants to come and open a shop, I'm not going to do it because I ain't got no weekends. And the weekends I have, I want for me. I don't want to sit in some shop working retail.
If I could trade my A&E job for working my own shop, that'd be interesting.
What, working evenings and weekends all the time?
Yeah, I don't know, it'd be
weird. Work. There was talk of somebody at the club opening one at one point.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
But it didn't happen, yeah, unfortunately.
It's very hard to do to keep open.
Yeah, and make money.
Yeah, because it's not a high, like, though people like to spend quite a bit of money on hobbying, like wargaming, it's not like selling yachts, is it?
Not everybody likes to spend money. Yeah. Some of them are real tight asses. So I played Magic, we had 19, that was good, and then last night I played Star Wars Destiny, which makes Magic seem cheap.
Yeah. Does it?
Yeah. It's really expensive.
Well, so what, don't you buy pre-made decks?
No. It's like blind boosters, £3 a pop, one dice in it, and some cards.
I don't know.
It's a good game, I enjoy it a lot, but yeah. I ain't spending £500 to have a...
Is that really on what?
Yeah, that's how much... You'd have to spend on boosters, really, to get a good deck. Yeah, so forget about
that
it.
That seems a lot.
I bought, like, 30 quid of the boosters, that'll do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was good. And that's me done, really. What else is happening in Barryland? Not much. Builders are due back. Anytime.
That train's never late.
Because the completion date for my in-laws is tomorrow.
Oh, right.
But they're not moving in because they already rent a place for a year.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to use it. So there may be some gaming sessions over in the abandoned next door house.
Oh, fantastic. That's a good idea. Yeah, because that's away from all interruptions.
All interruptions, yeah. So and I'll be able to have a table set up, hopefully, in there permanently.
Even better. Well, yeah. I can give you the, like, scenery and stuff. It's like, yeah.
Well, of course, scenery. No, you might hear some little gurgles and verbals.
Yeah, that's Hazel. Yeah,
that's Hazel. Right, so the world of wargaming. I saw some Star Wars Shadow War Armageddon going on last night.
Yes, yeah, the Necromunda that it is.
So, a couple of interesting facts. The box set sold out in about 3 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
So what's GW's response to the box set selling out in 3 seconds?
Making the rulebook available, wasn't it?
Yeah, but are they going to make any more of the box set?
No, I don't think so.
No. Because, obviously, the terrain...
Yeah, they're selling the train separately.
Yeah. But the old figures, I mean, you couldn't possibly buy those and just put them in a box and sell them for, what's it, 80 quid a pop?
I think so, yeah. Roughly,
I mean, what kind of madness is this? They sell out a box and they got that Dreadfleet that they couldn't sell for love nor money.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get a box like this that sells out in like 3 seconds flat.
Yeah.
And, like, as a small businessman, if you've got a product like this and you could make, like, well, whatever you're making, 40 quid a pop, and you could print 10,000 of them and sell them in a day.
Yeah.
Why would you not do this? I mean,
and what is crazy is it seems that only GW can do something where they can get something that sells well and then not produce more of it. If you follow.
Yeah, but there's not even anything in here that they don't already sell. All they have to do is take it and put it in a friggin' box.
That's true.
Don't even put it in a box. Put it in a bag. Put it in a jiffy bag, and people will still buy it, mate. They're bonkers.
It is weird, yeah.
So the people down the club saying, I'd buy it, but they don't exist. Like, that's madness. Madness. We've talked about it before. It's like, what supermarket would you go in and say, well, those beans sold well, but
we don't
can't get any more of them.
Any more beans. No more beans.
Got some peas.
Limited supply of peas.
They're almost beans. They're green peas.
It's just like, it makes no... To me, like, supply and demand, it's just like... Why not produce more of something that's sold out? It makes no sense, does it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyway, that's GW for you, fellas. I also saw Dave Downs ruin poor Phil Ewells.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear this story?
No, I didn't hear it. I mean, obviously, I saw the game because I didn't hang out much downstairs.
So you brought a team of five Blood Angel Scout snipers something?
Right, okay.
And it was like playing Call of Duty. It was just like, headshot, dominating. I don't think Phil got anyway. Every time he stuck his head out, he was dead.
Bang. Fair enough.
They had some kind of like chemical bullet or something.
Toxic round.
So like every time they hit, they just killed. So As funny as this game seems, it does. The balance doesn't seem.
Oh god, no! But like, the thing is I'm in the Facebook group of the Shadow War Armageddon, and yeah, you're right. People are like moaning. Like people, some people have said, "Oh, this doesn't seem balanced. Like this team seems better than that team," and it's like, yeah, they clearly are. It's not like. It's not designed to be a balanced game.
This is not Necromunda.
Yeah, no, but Necromunda wasn't.
Well, like, if you got rid of the Vanstars and some of the silly fan-made madness.
And Spirers were also, like, a great concept, but just not, you know, impossible to play with, you know, in terms of, like, they just didn't, you know.
Yeah, but this was fan-made stuff, wasn't it? That kind of stuff. There was only Vanstar out of the originals that were out of kilter.
Yes, I think so. But anyway, what I'm saying is that people like, just like, yeah, it's not that. That team's better than that team, and it's like, well, yeah, because they're just individually like that's a Space Marine and that's an Imperial Guardsman. Like they're not equal.
Yeah, you know, like, I said it reminded me of you see Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
With a couple of special ops or whatever.
Right, yeah,
Delta Force. So the two Delta Force snipers just wiping out skinnies.
Skinnies.
Left, right, center. Anyway, that's the problem. If you play orcs, you ain't gonna win much in anything ever. It's the power. It's yeah. The
well, I hadn't because Phil. I played Phil in our little Shadow War ongoing campaign. He used scouts against me. You know, like so the same team. There's orcs and scouts in there, and the orcs. It seems like you want numbers. You can get a lot of boys, and you don't want to give them a lot of equipment. Like, they come with a shank. Just give them, like, that's a knife, that'll do.
Shank? You don't even give them a shooter?
Well, maybe. But, like, you shouldn't buy equipment over having more boys. Like, they obviously need a gun, but, like, they barely hit with them anyway. It's like, and they're all unreliable. They're like, ballistic skill material. They're like, oh, they all blow up.
Two?
It's like, yeah, yeah, orcs.
Well, so you need a five to hit, and that's without
base,
cover or something?
Yeah, with no...
range cover, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, with no negatives. It's five up for orcs. You know, like, they're not good. And so they're just about numbers, though. Because often the scenario doesn't involve... Like, it involves doing something, and you've got the numbers.
So, by the flip side, Blood Angel Scout, ballistic skill four, probably.
Yeah.
Three up to hit, even if you're in
base,
cover.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
Four up to hit.
Yeah.
Headshot dead.
Yeah.
Four of headshot dead.
Well, okay, maybe it was a bad game for dice or something, but like your Gene Stealer cult up there is the same. Like they are not very good. They can get an operative in like of a Gene Stealer, and that is good.
Right.
But like the cultists themselves are only like men with a bit better, one better leadership. They are not good, and they're not packing good equipment. But they can get a lot of numbers, so they're. Like that's the like my little cult team needs to have like 15 guys in it,
all with a crowbar.
Yeah, because like, I can have a decent amount. And like, and when you go up against like the Harlequin squad, who like can only have six, just fire in their direction. Something might stick, you know. Like, just like if we're like just throw grenades at them, something might land, scatter and land on them. Like when you miss, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's been a bit of talk of 30K wanting to go to Age of
yeah,
Sigmarine.
Yeah, yeah. So in the 40K slowly getting like drip fed of releases, it does look really good. Yeah, but and there is, and apparently the word from Forge World, because they're like playing some 30K, is that they're going to finish what they intend to finish what they've started.
Right.
But this is obviously Forge World saying this, not GW. They are part of GW, but like this. Situation might change, but they want to basically, they haven't done Legion books for all of the Legions yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to finish that, and then they'll probably do their own rule set what 40k is currently, 7th Age, with, and they might tidy up one or two of the grey areas, and that'll be, and then they would finish it, and then do it again for 8th for current 40k rules. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. Yeah,
so it'll be interesting to see where they go. Because originally the plan was not to migrate to 8th Ed, but I think there's quite a lot of pressure now to migrate. Building.
Well, to be honest, I mean, it's what I've read of it, like, and it sounds good. Like, you're basically.
So do you think there's any way they could port 8th Ed into fantasy and make fantasy a bit better?
I don't know, but the GW has clearly learned their lessons from Age of Sigmar, because straight off the bat, they're producing that three ways to play. Match play, narrative play, and open, straight off the bat.
That's only really one way to play, isn't it? You talk about three ways to play.
Yeah, but they give you the impression, they give you the idea that there is three ways.
But that play without points is this road madness leads.
Well, yeah, but you and me, because we come from a competitive background.
I guess I'm playing with my kids, but I don't worry about points anyway.
Yeah, then that's how they style it, isn't it? Like, it's, I don't know, what I'm saying is, it's interesting to see them do that. And I like the idea of vehicles, because in 40K currently, your very expensive Land Raider could theoretically be shot by one weapon and destroyed. It could theoretically happen. But in the way that they're going to do 8, or this new version of 40K, when they have toughness profiles and a lot of wounds, well, that weapon can't kill that vehicle in one hit. It could do a lot of damage, percentage-wise, but it can't one-shot it. So thus, vehicles, your rhinos, will be a lot better.
They were awful.
Yeah, they're coffins.
For as long as I've ever played 40K, yeah, I've never used
them. They work better in 30K because there's less special weapons packing around. So it's less like it's a heavy weapon squad rather than one heavy weapon in a squad.
Yeah.
But they are not great, but they're not very much points either. But like your transport vehicles are going to mean something. So your Rhino in 40K gets hit by a las cannon. At worst, it takes at least 2 las cannon shots, and they have to roll like 11 damage out. 11 damage out of 2 dice. It's got 10 wounds. The Rhino's got 10.
Okay.
Wounds. So it's like, I believe that's the case.
That's a lot of wounds.
Yeah, it is. I mean, so it is statistically, yes. Like your las gun could kill a Rhino, but you need so many las guns shooting at them. But it's like, it's not...
Well, what's his toughness?
Oh, it'd be like, I don't know. Like,
so you need a 6 up?
Yeah, you'd need a 6 to wound. And then it's got, the Rhino itself is like, say, a 3 up save. And then if it fails, those two things happen. It takes one wound from this las gun. You're going to need a lot of las guns firing at it.
Yeah, I guess you're just shooting off the tracks and stuff.
Well, yeah, but...
Blowing off an antenna.
Whatever, I don't know.
Time, blowing off antennas and tracks, things stops working. Yeah.
But anyway, what I'm saying is... The stuff that's coming out looks good, and as our little group of 30K players, we don't mind the rule set we're using. When we are playing these, like, well, me, like, when I put down some 30K stuff, it's just the iconic, like, stuff that iconically I want to use.
It'll be interesting. I've got enough stuff to like never need to buy any 40K stuff. So maybe if they keep flyers under control and the silliness that
they was... should, it's very easy to, because no matter the size of the vehicle. That system of just, because they don't cap anything at 10 anymore, is very easy to manage.
Because you could never shoot them.
Well, yeah, but
They came on, they did stuff, they went off.
I don't know how they'll work flyers, but like your super heavy vehicle is totally legit because it will have like 30 wounds or something. Yeah, you know, like, is in terms of like it. Here it is. It's like.
You just reminded me of another thing. Super heavy, I never liked them either.
No, well, I'm just saying.
The Landmaker was big enough, mate.
But that's how they can accommodate anything.
Back when I used to play, a Bane Blade was something from Forge World that you had to get permission to play from your opponent. Say, I don't mind playing this total cheese because I've got no weaponry to deal with it anyway.
Yeah.
Your Bane Blade can just wander around killing everything.
I mean, it's, we'll see. It's like, it's interesting to like, but it's, I mean, what I do really like is they're doing a new Space Marine, like scale of Space Marine.
Ooh.
So they've, this is called Primus Marine, and he's like, he's quite a bit bigger than a regular Space Marine, and this
but not a Terminator size.
No, bigger. I think taller.
Wow.
Like probably like those custodies are to those regular Marines, the gold guys up on the shelf.
Oh, right, okay.
So, but there was still the fluff.
So Sigmarines, huh?
Yeah. The fluff is that Gulliman is like decided. Okay, like we need. I'm going to improve what the templated Marines are, and he's got the Mechanicum on side. We can do it. Yeah. Technology, and thus. Because people say that's against the fluff, and it's like he's writing the fluff right now.
This is
modern day. It is, of course, it's the fluff. And the GW knows how to make a marine model that looks good. And there they go. And it's like, and if I was going to play 40K, like for this new edition, that's the only type of marine I have. You don't have to have an army of like they're a choice. They're an option in a Space Marine army. And apparently, it'll be possible. You could do an army of them. Limited choices, but. They are a type of marine, but it's like that's how I do marines. Basically,
so what's the improvement?
Oh, they've got like the profile of a Terminator. Yeah,
so an extra wound.
Yeah, and but they're just a bigger model. Yeah,
so that's it.
Well, Well, they've got different. They've got like an improved bolt gun.
It's bigger. Okay. But all the stats are the same. They just got better weaponry or whatever.
Yeah. But it's just like they are like true scale Marines, and that's where people like in the fluff Marines are meant to be like what, 9 feet tall plus. Then you add armor on top and stuff. So it's like they're massive. They wouldn't fit in a door, and people custom build their own true scale Marines somehow by modeling them, getting them bigger. Stuff.
So the guy that walks around Salute in the Blood Angels Marine suit, if you've ever seen him, he's been there for many years.
Right, okay.
That's the real size, is it? He's like 10 feet tall.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Right, okay.
So I mean,
he looks pretty intimidating.
Well, all Marines are meant to. and these guys are pretty much like the true scale. If you compare them against like your standard guardsman, who let's say 6 foot, that model is 6 foot. Then the Marine is meant to be towering over him, like half as tall as him again, at least.
Mm-hmm. Good. Right, well, it's going to be exciting times. Mm-hmm. It's any day now, I guess. It's just going to explode because June, isn't
next
it?
Next month,
June.
I mean, in terms of their sales currently of 40k, they must be going down a bit because this is always the same with any new edition of a game. Is people will wait to see what the new edition is and stop buying stuff. I would have thought.
Yeah, well, apparently it's 80% of the sales of Space Marines anyway.
Yeah, well, they're about to get
80%
more Space Marines. I mean, it's pretty bad news if you're Chaos, really, because you don't get Primus Marines, but never mind.
Goddamn Chaos. Right, so, KR Multicase?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. KR.
Thank you very much, KR. In fact, it reminds me, I'll put a little note to myself, I ought to chase them.
Said they were in the post.
Well, I will ring them up again and just check that everything's fine.
You are persistent, sir.
Yes, this is one
of your very many strengths.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, so then we're on to last week's YouTube video report game thing.
Yes, so we recorded, maybe you've watched it, maybe you haven't, but we recorded our first attempt at a YouTube battle report, and overall, it was really good. I enjoyed making it. What's kind of sprung on me, but never mind. I wouldn't have prepped anything. But I enjoyed making it, and we were recording it, and we're like, off watching it back, I was like, right, this is how we want to get a higher angle to record it again. And we would have done that today if Barry had the time. But we have had some comments,
So the first 20 minutes were a little bit messy until we started to get closer in, and then things worked a lot better.
Learn our methods of it. So I'm just going to pull it up here on YouTube. Because there were some comments about mistakes we'd made.
One thing that somebody pointed out on the War Master Committee forum is that the cold ones, are they called cold ones?
Yes.
They are called cold ones. They're advanced, they should have had 4 attacks, because that's not a charge bonus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing we missed. There are other things we missed as well. I brigaded cold ones with non-cold ones, that's not allowed.
No, it's not allowed.
I charged my cold ones in and I engaged a corner when I could have engaged a full stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was another one. And the final one that I can remember is that when there was the bolt throwers shot the unit of cavalry, we were by the woods, they should have been driven back and then they would have probably been out of charge range or advance range or whatever they got taken out with.
Oh, here's the comments, the good eyes. So, I think you might have already addressed them.
Well, I'm pretty good. My memory's good for an old man.
I'm just reading the comments.
You can read that.
Look at the questions.
I forgot to give you a present.
Very nice. This is motivating myself and Steve to do some how to play War Master videos.
Oh, good for you, sir. Well done.
Okay, cool. Okay. So, quite cool.
So
sorry if we made some rules mistakes, but there you go. It can happen.
It does happen.
Yeah.
It does happen. I'm not a judge. Yeah. We're playing in a new system with new armies. Sometimes you make mistakes.
I watch Guerrilla Games and Ash's battle reports. He often does that. If he's doing a series of battle reports, like the same topic, the same game, off the next one, he might address what we just did on camera,
You'll get stuff wrong.
In the last one, we got this wrong. Never mind. There you go.
At the beginning of the video.
In last video, we had these incorrections, looking back, we made that mistake. Sometimes it's simple, like a rules mistake, like Cold War Knights couldn't brigade when they. We wouldn't have changed the game much, who knows? But others, yeah. But if he gets something majorly wrong, he makes a point of, okay, so that wouldn't have happened, theoretically.
Mm. Good, good. So we'll try and do another one next week.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it, actually. Yeah.
Good, good. And then in the new studio, which I don't know what the audio levels here are really good. The audio, what do you call it? What did they call it? Like
phonics.
The phonics. Phonics of this room are really good. Mm-hmm. And when we're not in here, the recording's not as good.
Oh, well,
so we'll see.
It's just enclosed space, isn't it?
Yeah. You've got stuff everywhere. So I forgot to give you something early on, sir, because no self-respecting father with a dadmobile should be without a child.
Thank you. So I do actually need that. Yeah.
Well, you haven't got it yet.
No. There you go. Perfect. I do
and
need one.
And it's Peppa Pig. And you are going to be watching a lot of Peppa Pig in the years to come.
I'm sure. Yeah, like.
Yes, there you go.
Excellent. I don't. It's weird. I don't really feel like a dad yet. I know I am, but like it doesn't. I didn't have that come to Jesus moment, you know. I've read about
the David Jason moment.
Where it's just like you're a dad now, and it's like, no, not really. I don't feel any different. All right. Cool.
Okay, right. The next one is the train generator. That's Ian's, isn't it?
Yes. So Ian has produced this lovely Warmaster scenery table, and he did it originally in 2010, and he adapted it very recently for the last week for the Warmaster Revolution set.
Well,
I really like this, because it's good.
Has he published it on the?
So he put it on the specialist
Facebook
forum,
page. Yeah, all right.
So what it is how to theme your table to an area of the Warhammer world.
Very nice.
And it gives you a scenery generator. So like, okay, we're going to have a bit of scenery here, roll to a 2d6 roll,
wow.
And that's what you get.
So you've done it for each different...
Yeah,
that's nice.
And at the back of this product, I like to call these things, he's put together all the rules for said scenery.
Good. So, for example, what hills do, what woods do, open ground, linear obstacles, shallow rivers. That's absolutely fantastic, sir.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this into my tournament pack, the Winter Roller. And obviously, this scenario, this terrain generator works. Well, you need to have the scenery in the first place.
Yeah. So it's, but it does talk about if you don't have it, how to substitute.
Yeah, exactly. And so in a tournament, like, you're going to come to a tournament and the tables are all set up.
Yeah.
And that's what you're... And they're going to be set up to a standard that we've agreed... Yeah, we've come to of, like, 6 to 8 pieces, X woods, X hills, something else. Nothing too big. Spread out.
Yeah.
That's the table. Now, apparently, as I'm told, we'd never know unless we saw, like, videos of it or footage. But we don't like to use a lot. Compared to other countries, people playing other way like to use a lot of scenery, and we tend not to. Like, weirdly, is that our style of British style?
Like,
if we have a style,
it's ported from other games, tournament games, which they have a limited amount of scenery to spread across a lot of tables a lot of the time, and B, they know that there's a sweet spot for scenery where it doesn't. You need enough to impact a game, but not enough to dominate a game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So 6 to 8 is the number.
Yeah, that seems to be the ideal thing for us. And what this scenery table does is say, like, so okay, today we're going to play in the Lands of Men, which is Empire, Bretonnia, Tilly, Estilly, Kislev. Okay, so we'll have 6 to 8 pieces.
Lovely.
First piece here, dice roll up. We've got a low obstacle, which is some stone walls. Terrain type 3, we put it down. Then we'll put some scenery here. Like, we'll roll that up. Or you could combine it with pacing it and then scattering it, like,
lovely,
it goes.
Lovely. Anything that brings a bit of structure.
And so what I'll do is I'll put this into my Winter Roller pack, and it'll be under, like, the options, like, for scenery-wise. It's like, most likely, a tournament is going to use the scenery it has. But if you have the opportunity, you can use this scenery table. And I will, like, credit Ian... credit Steve, isn't it?
Ian, isn't it?
Ian Standing, that's what I was getting confused. Credit Ian with, that's where it comes from, not my work, but like this.
And definitely the terrain descriptions and modifiers, that's really important.
Yeah.
One at the back, because the hill is a hill, this is what a hill does.
Exactly. And it's a lovely product.
Yeah, well done, Ian, sir. Mm-hmm. Well done, sir. All right, we're on to more stuff. Paul's special rules and unit cost analysis.
Yeah, so...
We've turned into nerds, sir. Nerds.
So what I've done is, because I had quite a bit of time, like, at the hospital recently, waiting for this and that, I put together, I finished the unit special rules analysis. So basically what I did is I took every special rule in the army's currently, and I just abbreviated essentially what the rule does.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't write it out verbatim because I wanted it to be short. And then I alphabeticalized them and where they are repeated in where their army lists. So the rules for like giant are in several different army lists.
Yeah.
But what I did was I didn't want to group it too much. But any trigger word, I didn't change any trigger words. So even though the rule is exactly the same, like handgunners, like are in Empire lists and they're in Arabic lists and stuff. Like it's the same trigger word, and I just what the rule does. But even if its results are the same, but it's a different word. Like here it is: cave troll, slave giant and giant, exactly the same. Okay. But they are the tree word is different, so I kept it different.
Although there's no reason for it to be called a slave giant.
No, it's just a bit of fluff, isn't it? But like, I'm just so anyway.
What and it had a bucket on its head.
What that means is that combined with the product I did of where it just lists all the units and costs, we have no special rules. You can start then to work out a rough idea of how many points that rule could, you know, has been valued at.
Yeah, so if you wanted to generate a new unit, you could look at what the basic troops cost, at the special rules,
shove it together, and you'll have an idea, a roughly fair idea of what it is. And also, when it comes to us analysing other things in the future, it can like, well, okay, so what special rules should they have? And it also highlights things that are completely unique. Like, that unit has a rule that is nowhere else in the game. You know, just like it's an interest, like it doesn't mean it can't have it, but it's just like should it? Yeah. Anyway, it's something I wanted to do, you know, like for a while, and now I got the time. I had the time on my hand, you know, like, and I produced it.
Well done, sir.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Popped out the head there.
Okay. Next one on our list is War Master Rules Committee Army List Book.
Yes.
So Alice has been doing some hard work.
Oh, mate, I didn't know he was making that, but like that's fantastic. Mhm.
So, little Hazel's.
Yeah.
Waking up a little
wake
bit.
Wake up. Well, keep going. You know, I might have to take a pause.
So. He's put us he's put most of the stuff, the changes into the book,
yeah,
and he's also working on the book.
Yes,
which is good,
which is fantastic. I didn't know he was doing that.
No, like, but what I will say is that there's a couple of lists now that are being shoved into a much longer review cycle than maybe Mr. Get It Done Today Winter would have been happy with. So, I'm pretty sure now Beastmen and Wood Elves are going to be in.
Yeah.
A state of flux for at least another 3 months.
I guess so.
I would have thought.
But what
to allow some proper playtesting.
Yeah, that's fine. But that playtesting can be in an event, can't it? Like, so. I don't know.
I don't know if it can be in an event.
I'll address
not tournament.
I'll address the issue. Like I wouldn't want Rodders, for example, if he wants to use Beastmen in July.
They could just use the old list.
Well, yeah, I mean... I guess so. But it's like, it's, coming up with... I want to be inclusive rather than exclusive. But anyway, it's... that's fantastic.
Because until there's a new list, the old list is king. Yeah, if you're going to allow a list to be used, it has to be the old one, because the new one's not done.
I said to myself that I would put this all together a month beforehand. That time's coming up in start of June. And then I'll look at the issue. I'll look at the whole, right, what am I saying like for this event? But and that's a conversation we'll have offline. But when it comes up, but it's good. Like by Alice producing that document,
Alice.
I mean, he saved me a lot of work because that is
something I was never going to get around to.
But it wouldn't be as nearly nicely formatted as he's done it. And obviously, there's going to be a finished product soon where it will be like that is the army's book. There's the rules book. Yeah.
That's the way to go. You need them separate because the rules hopefully will be done and finished and not messed with, and the army books might get messed with.
So. Exactly. So. Well, certainly the armies are going to get messed with a lot more than the rules.
Yeah, I'd certainly see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good stuff. We've got some votes running. We've got some movement on the ogres. I don't know if we talked about that last week or not. I can't remember.
You've proposed a lot. The thing with your ogre army, Barry, is what are you going to do about Gorges and Yetis, the non-ogre and stuff?
That nobody's who uses them.
I don't know. But
I can't just make it up. I don't think they need to be done in this first set.
Yeah.
Just because Just because they get released as is doesn't mean that's how they'll stay, but what can you do? How many people have you ever used Gorges or Yetis?
Not many. Yeah, like, no.
I've played like half a dozen games with ogres. I've seen other people use ogres. Janice has used ogres. Nobody uses Yeti. Nobody uses Gorges. So how can
there
I price them?
Well,
I'm sure they're not right.
But with this...
But I can't just pull stuff out my arse and say this is what they should be.
That's true, but with the thing that I produced, like the special rules, you can at least see... Like, Yetis have the same rules for Araby camel riders.
Yeah.
That's where it's from. You can just, like... So it's not... They're not unique.
It's much more useful on them than it is Yetis.
Well, yeah, totally. But, like, I'm just saying that... All right, anyway. Well, so what, would you not have them in the list? Would they
No, just stay as they are.
Just stay as they are.
Because I can't change them for the sake of changing them. So they'll just be what they are.
No,
and people won't use them, because they never did.
Because they never did. No change.
No change.
Situation, nothing.
No better, no worse. I'll probably change the giant's name, because what's the point in calling a slave giant?
I don't fluff. Yeah.
Aren't all giants slaves?
I don't know. Like,
how else are you going to work for you? I'm sure they're not working for the orcs and goblins for fun, are they?
I don't know.
Because they're getting beaten to death by the Black Orc leader.
Tough question to ask later. No, are slaves all giants?
Like, are giants all slaves? Yeah, I would have thought they are.
Yeah. Like, do we want to free the giants? Vote Thor. Like,
but I think it's if we ignore those two, Wood Elves and Beastmen for now, because of the old chicken and egg problem with the woods. And then we try and just get Norse and ogres sorted in the next 60 days, roughly.
Yeah.
That would be like 21 lists, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot.
It's a lot. And then hopefully we'll start getting some feedback from tournaments. Like, it's difficult to... Because there's a bit of a... One of the bigger issues is that some people think that all lists should be even.
Yeah.
Like, completely balanced. Like, no tier 1, no tier 2, no tier 3.
Tiers is only something we've said.
Oh, but they exist, mate. You can't compare, like, Dark Elves and Goblins.
But there's nothing official about it.
Or you can't compare, like, I don't know.
Like, it's like in the
Dwarves
back,
and Goblins
in the back of Blood Bowl, like, GW, like, they wrote, like, there's an unofficial tiers to these lists. Like, there's, like, these are the better teams, these are the mid-tier teams, which you can do well if you're a good player, and these teams are stunties and they're crap. You know, like...
And vampires.
Good luck with them. Because they're rubbish too. But, like, but that's what we intentionally done to make... It's not all perfect. Like, I'm very much of a... This is a War Machine, or Guild Ball. Like, there are going to be some armies which are just naturally better than others. Like, if your core unit is goblins, they're not as good as dwarves. Yes, you'll have a lot of goblins, because goblins is shit, but you can't, like, they just bounce off for, like, them. Yeah, they won't do a lot, either.
If you're a goblin, and your hero is leadership 8, no, your general's leadership 8, and your hero's a 7, you're in a world of shit, in a game that's driven by command. And you've got trolls.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Whereas if you're fighting against elves, you've got leadership 10.
Well, the thing is,
I think the elves are going to be picking the fight, aren't they?
Because the thing is, you could say, it's where I've come up against my Skaven army. It's like people like, yes, you can have a hell of a lot more troops on the table, but if ultimately there is no turn limit, if the holding the ground that the scenario you might be playing dictates, you're just battering your troops against like them, and they're getting shredded. Like you're not doing enough damage. You're not winning the fights. You're just consistently losing. Yeah, you've got more to lose, but you're never winning either. So you're going to ultimately die. Like, ultimately, you'll lose the game. That is not a horde army might have all the troops in the world, but if it's played against correctly, like 300 Spartans, it won't matter.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to play an army of just skeleton warriors, would you?
You wouldn't. You could. Yeah, but it wouldn't be very good. But
You'd have a lot of them.
Yeah.
60 units or something.
Something like, we're like, here's my army. I have literally no flanks because I am my table on my side. But, it's skew list. It wouldn't work. And the thing is, Warmaster is a system where you could put that on the table, but it wouldn't actually win you a game, I don't think.
I don't know, I'd be interested to see 60 units of skeleton warriors. Maybe that's my next challenge.
It's a theory hammer. I think in practice, you would A, run out of time, like to remove your stuff, and B, you just wouldn't make any headway with anything. Like, you wouldn't, you'd you'd just frontally just
maybe have to go down to 50 units and get some wizards in.
Well, you need some punch somewhere, some elite troops. I mean, like,
you just need raised deads, mate. I fine. More skeletons in the back.
I suppose so, but I mean, if I'm bringing Skaven to July, like our next event, I'm going to take a more heavy, like elite Skaven army, because when I last played Skaven, I was like, I don't. My stuff diet is just getting killed and I'm achieving nothing. I need actually some more rat ogres to put a bit more punch in.
Yeah.
You know, to win some fights.
Unless shooting that blows itself up.
Yeah, unless shooting that blows itself up. Yeah, okay, I've agreed to, like, in my head, I'll, like, leave the warp lightning cannons at home.
And the Jezebel.
And the Jezebel. And the Giselle. They just don't do anything.
We don't need shooting.
No, that's not what Skaven do. It can't do enough of it. You know, it doesn't matter.
Overrated. So good. So well done, Alish, on your army book. That's fantastic.
Oh, it's a lovely product. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Well done. I don't know how public it is. Yeah, I think it's just some proofreading and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, So.
But it was it's good to know it's coming. But
you can see that is it's like reading the almost finished version of a book or something like it. It's like it's going to be fantastic. Because then to new players, or something like novel thing in War Master, two players, you know, like you'll be like, here's the rules. They are set in stone and will barely change. Here's the army list that we that is current now, but they're all changeable things that we will look at in the future. But there's the army list for every army in the game for free. Like it's
everything's free.
Well, no, I'm saying there's a lot of choice. 23 armies.
Yeah, and I think even though I'm not going to say that everything we've changed is 100% right.
No.
The game with the changes is better than the game without the changes.
Oh, God, yeah. Miles,
if you take them a whole.
Having spoken to players who regularly, guys we've had a curry with, art posts, like, they're all, like, really positive to War Master Revolution. Nobody I can see who's played Revolution and is a serious player, like, let's caveat that, properly actually plays War Master. No one who's played Revolution has thought it was worse.
No, there are some definite things that catch you out. Like, the first time you realise you can't reform after a combat.
Yeah, okay.
That's a big scary,
like,
man.
Hang on.
Mm-hmm. But that's because, the combat system's different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you don't get to reform. And if you lose that combat, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Especially if it's on your turn, and you've charged and lost the combat, now you're going to get hurt.
You're going to feel that. Yeah. But it's, as I say, like, they... No, it's just a much better.
Yeah.
It was great.
Quick, nice, lovely. Right, so we're up to Blackgate Miniatures update. Phase 2 planning is underway.
Mm.
So Robbie's on board. A little bit of more art needed maybe for the characters. And then it should launch in June.
In June?
June.
So that'll be in the new Kickstarter.
Yeah, new Kickstarter for the characters and Mammoth Riders.
Characters and Mammoth Riders.
And then if it gets much more, then we'll work with it. You know, if there's a lot of interest, then I'll maybe get some more stuff done. If there's not, then maybe we'll just stick characters and
with
mammoths.
The second Kickstarter, that would give you enough to play the army, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because Nobblers are not essential by any stretch of any imagination.
But you'll have covered the core troops, the troops you have to have.
Yeah.
Which is characters and bull ogres.
That's it.
Yeah, so that's all you have to have, isn't it? But then, so you don't have all the options, but you have enough options to actually play an army.
I think you'd have the four units you'd want to use.
True.
I'm not sure. All the other stuff. Cherries on.
You know me, Barry. I like to use everything.
Well, you won't be able to with ogres, mate.
Yeah, like, they're like chaos. You can actually do that. Yeah, not the point.
There's no point taking one unit of gorgeous, one unit of gaze.
Not really. But it's legit. Like, you could take
one slave giant.
Yeah, you could take that ogre army to when you've got all those options out to an event and not even do that badly.
Mm-hmm. No, against a certain types of list. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Against crap infantry lists like Skaven, you're going to make that stewy,
every day,
mate.
Every day. It's like, I just evaporate you, because I evaporate, because in two rounds of combat, you're gone, you know, like, and I'm barely touched, and then I just do it again.
Give them a good stewy.
As I said, like, elite infantry kills horde armies. Chaos Warriors kill Skaven good.
Kill them good.
Skill them better. But
especially if you get them like in column, four in column. That's an awful lot of kicking.
It's an awful lot of dead Skaven.
Right, yeah. Well, that's quite a fast one today. We're down to... that's an hour. That's good. That's all you get is an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So You can contact us at the Facebook page or at warmusterpodcast@googlemail.com.
Yep.
Next week we're going to do a video report, so I'm not sure how long the podcast will be, but the video report will be good.
Yes.
I'll bring a spicy meatballer.
Yeah, you know, and waiting and anticipation is making the meal taste better.
Are we going to get the ego roller rolling for? Do we need to practice that yet?
Oh, could do. Yeah, we should do. I suppose. Yeah, like no harm in being productive. Now that I've based up the Tomb Kings, I wanted to get done. I could even one of these early mornings when I'm on shift of the baby type up my winter roller I wanted to do. You know, I can work at a computer just as well as I can do anything else.
Because it's 1st of July, isn't it, your one?
It's 1st of July.
So that means you need to release the rules in about 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it may be worth at least having at least one trial before we release.
Yeah, of course. But actually, with Alice's like War Master book and stuff, it's a lot of the work was done for me now. Like, that's fantastic. That's like, it's not even...
Yeah, you'll be taking a lot of stuff out rather than writing stuff in. Okay, right, good. Right, so that was War Master Podcast episode 60 with Paul and Hazel and Barry. Yep. And Hazel's been fine.
Yeah.
Long may it continue.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you get off to your day, sir.
Thanks very much.
Good night.